Church is not a building. It's not a minister or a committee. Church happens when we gather together to journey on the path. So come into this church and bring your whole self, your joys and regrets, your disappointments and delights. Come and join us in church. I'm Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm delighted to be joined today by our music director, Susan Peck, and our worship leader, John Eldridge. John also serves on our COVID Advisory Council. Our DJ today is Arnie Golarud, and our tech team today is Dan Small and Vance Bass, Cy Schuster, and Bill Miller, and thank you all so much for helping us make it happen. Reverend Angela is taking a well-deserved rest today, so let's hear from our announcements.
Good morning. Great to be with you again. We have three announcements this morning. First Unitarian's annual Halloween costume parade will be virtual this year on October 25th during our 11 a.m. service. Send us a photo or video of yourself, your family, or even your pets in costume to me and Noren at the link in the chat bar. If you don't have a chat bar available to you, it's dre@uuabq.org. And please get those to me by October 22nd. Secondly, the grief support group originally planned for this fall has been postponed until after the holidays. Third, the blessing of the animals will happen on Sunday, November 1st at 2 p.m. That's the blessing of the animals will happen on Sunday, November 1st at 2 p.m. It will be a virtual service. This is a unique opportunity for all of our beloved companions to receive a blessing from the Reverend Angela, even the ones who can't join us because they don't travel well. We'll also honor our companions who have gone on to the next great adventure. If you'd like them included in the memorial slideshow, please email a copy of a picture along with their name and yours as you would like it displayed. If you don't have a picture of your beloved companion, feel free to email their name and species along with your name. Send that information to Raven Reed Starr no later than Friday, October 16th. Her email address is ravenreed@gmail.com, and you can find that also in the chat.
As Unitarian Universalists, one of our core principles is the practice of democracy. So in that spirit, I'm gonna run a short poll. So I invite everyone to vote about what your voting plan is. Are you gonna vote by mail with an absentee ballot? Will you vote early? You're gonna vote on election day? What's your voting plan? Getting a lot of responses here. This is so fun. I love doing the polling. Looks like there's a slight edge to voting by mail. Very few people plan on voting on election day. Oh, I see people have already voted. That's great. Nice work. All right. Well, with 153 responses in or so, we have 56% of the voters voting by mail, 42% voting early, and then 1% voting on election day. That's great. The only wrong answer, there's our responses. The only wrong answer is not voting at all. This is an election where we really have to vote. And you know what? You can still register in person until October 31st. So if you're not registered yet, it's not late. Early voting began last week at the clerk's office as we saw, some folks had already voted. And early voting begins across the city on October 17th. So now more than ever, vote.
Good morning. We light our chalice today with the words of Betsy Darr. May the light of this chalice give light and warmth to our community when we are joyful and when we despair. And may we feel the warmth spread from our circle to wider and wider circles until all know They belong to the one circle of life. Our opening song this morning, in connection with our monthly theological theme of deep listening, is Hush. Last week we just sang one verse of it mixed in with Voice Still and Small. This week we're going to sing three verses of it. So I invite you to join me singing Hush, Hush, Somebody's Calling My Name. Gotta turn my piano on.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for coming to the Radical Generosity team meeting. Today, we're going to talk about the logistics of the virtual pledge card.
You're muted.
Oh, okay, sorry. I missed the last meeting. So why aren't we getting paper pledge cards like we usually do?
So this year's pledge drive went virtual like everything else has. It wasn't safe or practical to gather dozens of people together this year to put together the mass mailing. And it wouldn't have even been legal this year, in fact. And if it had been, the church's policy has been to err on the side of caution so that when we can gather again, everyone is there.
Oh, you're muted.
Okay, so how exactly is this going to work? How are we supposed to make our pledges without a paper card? Type them into the Joys and Concerns chat?
Nope. This year, we've put a virtual pledge card on the church website at uuabq.com. You can access it through your desktop computer, through a tablet, through your smartphone. It really streamlines the pledge process. And almost 150 families have already made their pledges that way this year.
You're muted again.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
Sorry. So I'm still trying to get used to this Zoom stuff. This virtual pledge card sounds like a lot more complicated technology that I don't know how to use in another account that I'm going to forget.
Really not as intimidating as it might sound. It's just a customized Google form, like the ones that you've used in the past to RSVP to church events like Connections Week. You don't need to set up an account to use it. You won't need to come up with a new password. And you don't need a stamp and an envelope this year. Here, let me show you how it works. If you just head over to the church website, you can scroll down to the pledge drive icon. And once you get to the form, just start typing.
Well, I've used forms like this before.
Do you use your real name? Or?
Once you've updated your phone number and your address, go ahead and click Next. That'll take you over to the next page where you can input your generous pledge.
Wow, what currency is that?
Then just let the church staff know how you'd like to pay your pledge and if you want help setting up an automatic deduction. Once you click submit, you're done. That's all there is to it. Oh no. You might have to prove you're not a robot.
You're muted.
Okay. So that does look pretty easy, I have to say, but how can we be sure our pledge actually went through to the church and not off into the void somewhere?
As soon as you hit submit form, Google will send you an email with a copy of all the information that you put into the virtual pledge card. That way you can look it over. If you see any typos, you can let the church staff know. And of course, you'll also still get your quarterly reports from the church, the much less colorful ones that let you track your donation over the course of the tax year.
You are muted.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. So, what if I really just prefer paper and I just don't want to make a pledge online?
That's fine too. You can let church staff know and we can have you emailed a PDF that you can print and fill out at home. They can mail you a hard copy. We'll make it work.
You're muted.
So how long do we have to make our pledges?
So this year's deadline is an easy one to remember. It's October 31st, Halloween. After that, board will start making calls.
Hi, we're the staff team at First Unitarian.
Will you join us in the children's affirmation?
We are Unitarian.
Universalists.
We are people of faith.
With open minds.
Loving hearts.
And helping hands.
All right. So this is for all of the young people, people young at heart, young people, anyone who out there who would like to sing a song. This is the UU Children's Blessing. And it's a call and response song, which means I'm going to sing a phrase, you listen with your deep listening ears, and then you sing it back with me. Now, because we're on Zoom, I'll sing both the call and the response, so you don't feel like you're totally alone. But sing out, Louise. And so this is by Nick Page, who is a wonderful children's choir composer for many, many years. And at the beginning of the song, before you start singing, he says, think about these words from theologian Matthew Fox. He said, if you only do one prayer in your life, let it be thank you. So this is a blessing and a gratitude song. So we need to get a beat going. One, two, one. So get your fingers snapping. One, two, three, four, one. Well, well, well. Well, well, well. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Well, this little piggy believes in God. Yeah. And this little piggy believes in the goddess. Yeah. And this little piggy believes in multiple deities. And this little piggy believes in none. Well, all of us little piggies, gotta say thank you. Gotta say thank you. All the way home. Amen. Blessed be. Have a nice day. Thank you for listening and singing with me.
So great. All those little piggies together in church. Let's pause the chat for a few moments during the meditation and prayer. We'll turn it on during the joys and concerns. I want to invite you into a time of meditation. Make your body comfortable wherever it is right now. Maybe take a deep breath. And for this one, I really invite you to close your eyes. But if that makes you uncomfortable, you don't have to close your eyes. Maybe you can just lower your gaze. I want us to focus on the sense of hearing, of listening. So being very quiet, turn your attention to the sounds in the room where you are. Doesn't matter how loud they are or soft they are, if they're in the room or outside of the room. What do you hear? Now bring your listening in closer. Listen to your own self. Can you hear your breath, perhaps in your mouth or your nose? Can you hear your pulse? Now let go of that effort of healing. Let's just turn our attention to breath and let's be together in silence for 2 minutes.
We've reached that moment in our service when we share our joys and concerns. We'll open the chat now so you can share your joys for the first few minutes, and then we'll transition to your sharing your concerns. And so doing, we'll lift all of these joys and concerns, not as one, but as all.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your parents' days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd. We could shake this world if you would only show us. Would you teach your children to tell the truth? Would you take the high road if you could choose? Do you believe you're a victim of a great compromise? 'Cause I believe you could change your mind and change our lives. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd, 'cause we could shake this world if you would only show us how. Your life is your children to tell the truth. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above. If you would only show us how, your life is now, your life is now, your life is now, your life is now.
When we share our joys and concerns with this gathered community, we journey together, sharing our celebrations and supporting each other with the burdens that we carry. Today we see such sweet joys and such heavy concerns, joy for the fall weather and for health in general, joy for covenant groups meeting, families returning to Albuquerque or just simply connecting, joy for a cochlear implant that allows a 72-year-old person to hear birdsong for the first time. Joy for the night sky and those vibrant planets that are so beautiful, and joy for the New Mexico sky in general. And many concerns, concerns for our election and the stability of our country. We're concerned for Sally New's son, who is in the ICU. And we lift up a prayer for all those who struggle with PTSD, where they find safety and security and peace. And lift up and their concerns for those enduring cancer treatments and concerns for sick pets. And we lift up Al Cope's father, who is entering hospice. And we lift up all those joys and concerns held in our hearts that are unspoken, but no less deeply felt. All these we lift up to the great powers of celebration and healing and renewal that are known by many names. We pray for Lisa Goldman, who's having surgery this week and who lost her sister last week. May she and her family find healing and comfort. We lift up Jay Johnson's grandson, Juan Andres, who undergoes oral surgery this week. May his healing be swift and comfortable. We pray for Judy Gehring, who's having surgery this week. May she be lifted by the warmth of this congregation as she heals. And we remember Beatrice Mitchell as she goes through health challenges. May she be healthy and safe. On this weekend of Indigenous Peoples Day, We speak the words of Reverend Jason Cook, the Columbus of childhood, the plucky sailor who discovered the New World and greeted the Indians. That Columbus is gone, never was. On the edge of Columbus Day, we have heard those who cry, this was not our story. This discovery was no discovery. It was a conquering of peoples, of civilizations already here. Amidst this violent past, this country was formed and shaped, built on ideals and hopes and justice, but also violence and history twisted. History that echoes in broken men with guns in their hands. And so we hold this space in acknowledgement that we are no longer able to ignore the truth of where we came from and who we might still be. So let us give new names to what has been wrongly named. Let us acknowledge Indigenous Peoples' Days. Let us honor the gifts of people who were here before and those who are still here. May this be a reminder to hold this day as a sacred one, feeling the echoes of the past, hearing the voices of the present, and building a way to a future that heals wounds, makes amends, and honors the holiness of all humanity. And may we all be held in the heart of love. Amen. Blessed be, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Our reading this morning comes from the book Healing the Heart of Democracy by Parker Palmer. The American poet Theodore Retke wrote, quote, in a dark time, the eye begins to see, end of quote. I began this book in a season of heartbreak, personal and political heartbreak, that soon descended into a dark night of the soul. It took months to find my way back to the light and 6 years to complete the book. But as I fumbled in the dark, the poet Retke's words proved true time and time again. My eyes were open to new insights, and my heart was open to new life. When I came out of my own darkness back into light, to the people I love, the work I believe in, the world about which I care, the conflicts within and around me no longer tore me apart. With eyes wide open, and broken open heart, I was better able to hold personal and political tensions in ways that generate insight, engagement, and new life. Looking at politics through the eyes of the heart can liberate us from seeing it as a chess game of moves and countermoves, or a shell game for seizing power, or a blame game of whack-a-mole. Rightly understood, politics is no game at all. It is the ancient and honorable human endeavor of creating a community in which the weak as well as the strong can flourish, love and power can collaborate, and justice and mercy can have their day. We, the people, must build a political life rooted in the commonwealth of compassion and creativity still found among us, becoming a civic community sufficiently united to know our own will and hold those who govern accountable to it.
So a funny thing happened on the way to this sermon. When I chose the topic, Beloved Conversations, a month ago or 6 weeks, I assume that the Beloved Conversations Anti-Racism Project that 40 of us are starting would be underway by now. We'd have begun our first sessions, and there would be all kinds of interesting things to talk about today. Well, between then and now, the start date was pushed back to October 15th. This is October 11th. So the topic of this sermon is taking a turn, but maybe it's a good metaphor. Conversations often take us on different turns to places that we didn't expect. And I have an experience from back in 2017. That's a good example of that. There's a national group called the Three Percenters. And they say they're not in a militia, but they sure behave like one. In fact, the Anti-Defamation League categorizes them as anti-government extremists who are part of the militia movement. They call themselves Three Percenters because they claim that during the American Revolution, only 3% of the colonists fought. That's wrong, of course. The number is closer to a third. And anyone who knows anything about fighting wars knows that for every person out front pulling a trigger, there are three people behind them offering logistical support. Anyways, I sometimes see their logo around town. It's unnerving. It's a Roman numeral 3 and a percent sign. So back in 2017, which seems so long ago, the local 3%er chapter in Buffalo tried to hold a recruiting plaza in front of Buffalo City Hall. And the anti-racism group I was working with decided to hold a counter protest. So on a very, very cold day in January, we found ourselves on the plaza too. It's kind of an awkward thing, really. There wasn't really many people there who weren't partisan one way or another. There were about 20 of them gathered on one side carrying lots of American flags and about 20 of us on the other side holding our Black Lives Matter signs. And for a while, it was just them looking at us and us looking at them. And finally, one of their members began walking towards us. We kind of braced, wondering what was going to happen next. And he walked right up to me. Maybe I think I was wearing a collar, so maybe that was it. But he walked up to me and he put out his hand and he said, "I just want to say hello. We're all just practicing our First Amendment rights here." Wow. Well, I shook his hand and said thanks. His name was Ray, and we started to talk about why we were all there. And slowly his group drifted over and stood around us, and pretty soon we were standing in groups of three or four, just talking. Now, some of theirs and some of ours would not have it. And they moved to the side or just walked in circles around the square with their signs. But I stood there for a very cold hour, asking them what they were about and what they wanted. It was apparent from talking to these folks that they were not benefiting from the existing system. They talked about being unemployed and having lousy health care and not being able to see a dentist. And this takes me back to our reading of Parker Palmer. In his book, Healing the Heart of Democracy, he talks about how everyone's problem with the current system, every source of anger or cynicism, has its roots in heartbreak that is real. And to really listen, to really hear someone, we have to first understand that heartbreak. So here's where it gets weird though. A heartbreak can be real even if it's not justified. Parker Palmer encourages us to listen to a person's stories of their life, not their political sound bites, not their gotcha lines, but the things that happened to them that broke their hearts. Most of the 3%ers I talked to could name a thing that happened to them that led them to this place of complaint. But their thinking went sideways from there. Instead of blaming a capitalist economy that enriches a few at the expense of the many, they wanted to blame immigrants and the welfare state. Their heartbreak was real, but their conclusions were utterly wrong. And I remember one guy in particular, a really outspoken and argumentative guy. Can't imagine what Thanksgiving is like with this dude. Anyways, as he blamed the government over and over for the problems of this country, I kept asking him how this had affected him personally. And he kept deflecting and deflecting. But finally, I wore him down. And the example he gave was he said that his boss's business had had some land taken away from him so that the local post office could expand. So he lost some land so the post office could get a little bigger. And I had to work hard not to laugh in his face. That was the source of all his anger. Are you kidding me? And it occurred to me that sometimes the heartbreak is not a genuine personal loss, but just the difficult work of accepting that everyone deserves a seat at the table. It was then that I realized that his heartbreak, his larger heartbreak, had nothing to do with the government seizing land in a strip mall by eminent domain. This guy, this white guy, felt that somehow he was losing something given by equal treatment to women and queer folks and people of color, and it made him angry. It's complicated, isn't it? A person's feelings can be real and also false at the same time. It shows how challenging conversations can be. Doesn't mean that conversations don't have value. They have more value than ever. But it tells us that different conversations have different purposes. And sometimes we need to think more deeply about the feelings that people have and why they have them. So I want to encourage everyone to have conversations with folks who might disagree with them and to make an effort to listen for the heartbreak. Listen for the heartbreak. And I see my resistance to this all the time. I'll hear my neighbor talk about how COVID is a hoax, and a million slam dunk retorts come to mind. And that's me really loving the feeling of being right. Oh, I love that, that feeling. But being right in that way isn't going to change his mind. And it's certainly going to make him feel less like a neighbor and less likely to talk to me. Folks love to be heard, and they feel validated when people ask them about their real life. And that can be difficult for me to hear because it complicates my black and white answers that I have a huge stockpile of. It forces me to think a little more deeply. And perhaps most important, it makes me more human. Hearing other people's stories enlarges our humanity. I'm going to change here to talk about a different kind of conversation. And let me start by talking about having conversations with folks that we disagree with. I encourage folks to do that, but there's a big exception. If you're a person who's chronically marginalized, if your daily experience is to be thought less of by the mainstream, you have no obligation to hear more hateful speech. The simple act of living in a hostile society exempts you from having to have these kinds of conversations. I hear from people in this congregation about the daily struggle to stay positive and afloat. Protect yourself as you need to. Leave the work of these difficult conversations to folks who are not marginalized, who enjoy the privilege of being cisgender or male or white or upper middle class. Staying whole is enough. And I also want to say as an aside, if you're struggling, please reach out. Let me know. Let us know. You don't have to go through this alone. Anyways, that relates to the kind of conversation that is becoming increasingly more normal. And I'm talking about conversations within a community for the sake of the community. This is when a group of a specific identity, like being queer or people of color or male, get together in a space that is just theirs. Doesn't mean never talking to folks within the larger community. It's just the time that allows for sharing with a group of people who share common identities and experiences. For example, in the Beloved Conversations program that we now know hasn't quite started yet, the group work happens in what they call caucuses, where people are organized by their racial identity. And there are many reasons for this strategy. So for Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, by the way, there's a new acronym, BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. For those folks, this creates a space for people to do their own work. One thing that can happen in mixed race spaces is that people of color can be placed on a pedestal as the authority on all things related to race. Well, that's never true, and it's not fair. And also, the thing about being placed on a pedestal is that there's no room to grow. Folks need a space to grow. Caucuses also create a space where BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and other people of color can unpack their own stuff about race. For example, it's a place where a Hispanic person might think about any internalized anti-Blackness that they might have. Now, for white folks, white caucus spaces can produce a lot of anxiety. They show up to do the work of anti-racism and they wonder how they can do it when there's no Black folks around. But white-only spaces can give a place for white folks to cultivate their understanding of themselves as white people separate from people of color. They can better understand how white identity is formed and what messages they still hold from that formation. It's also a place where white folks can worry less about hurting the feelings of people of color when they say a difficult thing that they believe when they're still struggling. Now, one of the things that I've seen in white progressive spaces and have gotten involved with myself is that these spaces can be deeply grounded in guilt and shame. That is not a helpful platform from which to evolve. And I know that the Beloved Conversations Project is hoping to create a space that is grounded in love and support for each other. That's a platform for growth. Now, these kinds of caucus spaces are already happening within our church. They're not new. There are a couple of men's groups that explore male identity in a spirit of compassion and mutual support. There's the People of Color group, and there are subgroups with specific religious interests like paganism and Christianity. These groups don't divide us. They do the opposite. In these individual places of beloved conversation, individuals foster their well-being. And the well-being of the individual is connected to our well-being as a congregation. And these different groups tell us a truth about this large congregation. That we are a community of communities. The Unitarian Universalist leader and writer Paula Cole Jones has done an amazing job building out this idea of church as a community of communities. We have many communities here at First U, and they overlap. You know, single parents, elders, multiracial families, neurodiverse folks, and the list goes on and on. And if you're a part of a group that doesn't have a structured meeting, think about starting one. Think about if it'd be helpful. We recognize that there are many paths into the larger congregation, and these paths shouldn't be separate and siloed, but rather support each other and work together for the mission of the church. All of this is to say that a congregation is a place of many conversations. Some of these conversations take place in spaces that have boundaries. Some of these conversations happen in larger groups. For me, the space where the conversation is happening is less important than the quality of the conversation. In whatever the space, I pray that our conversations are an invitation to listen for each other's heartbreak. I pray that they're an opportunity to show up with curiosity and compassion rather than the need to win the conversation. I pray that our conversations make us more human, more whole, and more loving. May it be so.
One in six people struggle with food insecurity in New Mexico. This means that approximately 324,000 New Mexicans, including one in four children, are struggling with hunger every day. All offerings designated for our Change for the Future program today will go to the Roadrunner Food Bank a partner to First Unitarian's food pantry, which hands out dozens of bags of groceries each week. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up these offerings for the work of the church and the work of this church in our community.
I definitely owe this song completely to my religious upbringing. We learned a lot of scriptures and a lot of them very beautiful that I still think of and refer to today. So you may or may not know that my CD Promise was one that I wrote entirely to bridge the gap between the religious lessons I learned from my mother and the atheistic worldview that I got from my dad. And this song, Bread Alone, was inspired by the scripture that says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so my idea was to translate that concept into terms that my dad could understand, that could resonate with his worldview as well. And the way I see that scripture now is that bread represents the physical experience of life, and that we human beings are not merely physical creatures. We are emotional and spiritual. And I see those experiences of life, our emotion and our connection to the divine, however we describe or define that, as being the words that come from the mouth of God. And so that we are a balance of our physical bread reality and our inner reality. This song is called Bread Alone. Goes well with banjo.
Bread alone ain't never been enough. You could eat that stuff all day, you fill your belly up. Body's hunger's very real. You could eat the biggest meal, nobody can live on bread alone. You got to marvel at how things grow. You got to harvest what you sow, and you got to stand out in the fields, 'cause out there you know. Very real. You could eat the finest meal, but nobody can live on bread alone. Now you could eat the finest meal, a rack of lamb and a breaded veal, but nobody can live on bread alone.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the Roadrunner Food Bank, and thank you on behalf of First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. We're moving towards the end of the service, and we'll be offering folks an opportunity to spend some time together in our breakout rooms. And I invite you to consider this discussion question. So what were the conversations in your life that really changed the way you thought about something? What were the conversations in your life that really changed what you thought about something? And I'll put that in the chat bar. Let's extinguish our chalices, shall we? As we go forward, may our conversations make us more human, more whole, and more loving. Go in peace, gentle people, and practice radical love.
Drive.